Today, we are continuing in our sermon series about Jesus preaches. If you notice, there are olive trees here. They'll remain through October as a sign of peace as we anticipate. Honestly, the world's complicated, y'all, and I don't anticipate it getting less complicated anytime soon. And our Christian response is to continue to pray, continue to love, continue to serve. And so these will stay through October, and then November, the first Sunday in November, by the way, is typically All Saints. It's a tradition in the church to actually honor those who've died in the year before. We're going to have a whole different setup here for that Sunday, but I hope you come and honor it, because it's really a tremendous gift for us to be able to talk about those who have fought their fight, and for what does it mean for us to live and to do our part in this season. Today, we're continuing the series on Jesus Preaches, and it's quite along that theme. The truth is, when Jesus was preaching, he had a much more complicated message, or rather complex message, than a lot of times that you hear. And the reason is because you get a lot of people who preach sections of the Bible they like to preach. And there are actually different kinds of churches who preach different kind of sides of messages, let's say. For a lot of people, they grew up in a church where a lot of what they were taught was the radical inclusivity of Jesus. For the first half of this series, that's basically been what we've been preaching, right? Jesus comes down, you know, as God. God enters human flesh in the form of Jesus. Jesus comes and he preaches. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That the kingdom of heaven is this thing that is so close to us that our job is to respond to it. And in fact, the next week we talked about how what Jesus ends up doing is he connects us to people of different tribes. That the family of God is not just Jews, not just those who are heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but rather Jews and Gentiles, and even the half Jews of Samaritans, and that Jesus comes and preaches a radical message of inclusivity, that the word of God is for all those who will hear. Then we preached about family, how Jesus actually, to make a point, he said, well, my mom isn't really my family as much as those who do the will of my father. The whole point is not to diss his mother, but to emphasize that his mother and his brothers and his sisters are those who do the will of God. It's this really amazing message that Jesus gives that says, everyone's welcome, y'all. My Texas version, of course, of Jesus, but y'all, everyone's welcome. The gospel is here for all of you. And there are some people who go their entire lives only hearing that that's what Jesus preached. In fact, I know people who've gone to seminary and decide to actually read the Bible, and I'm here to tell you that is what Jesus preaches, but he doesn't leave it there. Right? That radical welcome should lead, in a church that follows the whole of what Jesus does, to a conversation about, okay, so now what are you going to do with it? And it's not that Jesus becomes exclusive, but rather a lot of people choose not to follow the words of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, some of y'all grew up in a church where that's all you heard. You never heard that everyone's welcome. You never heard that grace was here for everyone. All you heard was this piece where Jesus ended up preaching, turn, because there's a narrow pathway that leads to life, and most of them don't find it. And you grew up with only that message. What I wanted to do in this series is to highlight the both sides of Jesus' sermon. Everyone is welcome. It's why when we do communion here at St. Andrew, there is no barrier. You and everyone you bring to this place are welcome at the table of God. But if all we did was talk about kind of the fluffy, just come on, y'all, it's all good. If all you did was kind of talk about coming and there was no part that looked at you and said, but are you going to actually do what Jesus says? Then I failed. Then the church has failed. And I have to tell you, when churches only talk about the hard, hey, listen, there's a narrow pathway, and they don't mention that everyone's welcome, they miss the story. And so today what we're going to do is make that turn, and I want you to hear that everyone is welcome to this place, but not everyone chooses to respond to the words of Jesus. There are sometimes people get to seminary and they've never heard that the welcome is here for everyone, and then they've never heard that you got to do something with the grace that God gives you. And it's that balance that actually, at our best, we Methodists do really well. We balance the welcome invitation to all, but also the hard call of discipleship. Next week, we're going to talk about how far that goes. But today, I want you to hear that you and I have got to pay attention to Jesus and nobody else, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that even in the passages where Jesus is describing this radical new philosophy where everyone's welcome, he challenges you and says, but are you willing to actually follow me? So Jesus' greatest sermon, which by default, because he's God, means the greatest sermon ever preached, is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That the greatest sermon ever preached, I mean, this is blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are persecuted. He says, turn the other cheek. He describes the high bar of marriage and love and life. And at the end, this is how he ends it. This is in the seventh chapter of Matthew. He says, and I'm going to read elongated sections today, so a lot of this will be just Jesus preaching. Novel concept. All right, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, Lord help us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We humans are tribal creatures. It's one of the things that I keep pondering about in the last few weeks, where our politics get tribal, our countries get tribal, all sorts of those places. Part of what that means is we humans are looking to make sure someone else is with us. That one of the greatest pains we can have is when we're looking around and someone else isn't with us, and you sit there and you go, no, but I don't want to be alone. You look around to figure out, are you doing your business right? Are you doing your family right? You end up going on TikTok or social media to figure out, am I raising my kids right? Just for the record, that's not the place, okay? But that's what we do as humans. We are meant to be in community with one another. And what we do is we often look around and go, am I alone? Okay, no, good, all right, I'm safe. But what if, just bear with me, what if everyone else is wrong? What if the vast pathway that people are going down actually doesn't lead to life? I was doing a recording for our podcast on leading people, and this week there's a guy who's actually nearing retirement. This is, by the way, when a lot of people have epiphanies, is nearing retirement, because they go, wait a minute, my identity was wrapped up in my job. Who am I now? And they look back and they go, what did I do it all for? And he had three A's. He said, you know, people in this area are constantly seeking achievement, affluence, and acceptance. And at some point in time in your life, you're going to discover those are insufficient. They're insufficient. That actually, that's what you discover. The more you walk with people and talk with people, and that's really my job, and I love it. What you realize is I have so many conversations, people in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 80s, who go, I wish I knew this at 30. I wish I knew this at 15. And this is, just because you're following what everyone else does, doesn't mean you're on the right path. That Jesus comes and he says, actually, the path that leads to life is narrow, not broad. That sometimes not doing what the masses do is actually a helpful way. So the question then is, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know you're on the right path? And the answer is, well, it's frankly the Sunday school answer, Jesus, right? As Lauren likes to say in the root, it starts with J and ends with Jesus. That's generally the answer for so much of this. Jesus actually says that he's that answer in John in the 10th chapter, where he goes deeper into the explanation of how do we know which path leads to life. This is it in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Again, this is an elongated section. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep will not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd," Jesus continues. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Now, I have to tell you, I've spent zero time with sheep in my life, except for the little petting pens, petting zoos, now that I've got a kid. So I know nothing personally about this. I'd be happy to take no more than a week-long internship at a sheep place just so I could have some story to tell here of some sheep that didn't follow my voice because I'm not the master. There are, however, great YouTube videos about this. And the truth is that there's a difference in some of the ways people do shepherding. A lot of times in this area, when you do sheep herding, you often drive them from behind with dogs or the things. In the Middle East, particularly in Jesus' day, Jesus describes it where the shepherd would go ahead. He spent so much time with his sheep, or let me rephrase it, the sheep spend so much time with the shepherd that they come to know his voice. So that when the shepherd goes on, all he has to do is call. There are great videos out there of people giving the same sheep call, but not in the right voice. And the sheep don't go. But then the master comes, the shepherd comes, the one who spent time with him goes, and he calls the sheep, and they immediately go and they follow him. My question for us today is, whose voice are you spending time listening to? I think this is a particularly poignant question for at least me today. I think for all of us, frankly. Our world is complicated and it's getting more complicated. And there are all sorts of voices, most of which I don't trust, giving an explanation for why this person's doing that or why that person's doing that. And it infects our politics. It infects our multinational corporations. It infects so much of our news, sources, social media, etc. And the question that I want to ask is this. If Jesus' metaphor is the sheep know my voice, my sheep know me, are we spending enough time listening to the shepherd? On Sunday morning, almost every week, Apple sends me a notification, an update of how much time I've spent on my device in the last 7 days. Maybe you can turn this off. I don't know. I've never tried because it's a helpful reminder on Sunday morning to sit there and look and go, how have I spent my time? This is what I'm asking this morning. How are you spending your time? How are we as a church supposed to hear the word of the Lord, hear the voice of God if our ears are filled with voices that are not the Lord's? How do we do this? Next week, we're going to talk about what the voice says, and we're going to talk about the cost of discipleship when Jesus says, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me, but I don't want to go there quite yet. I'm going to hint at it today, but I don't want to go there quite yet, because a lot of times what I do as a pastor is I jump to the end of the death and the resurrection and the high call of discipleship. I'll get there next week. I promise we'll get there, but today, I don't want you to jump there yet, because what I want you to do is ask the question, would I even know the Lord's voice if I heard it? If you were a sheep and you're sitting there, do you know the Lord's voice? Have you spent enough time in prayer, in scripture? Have you spent enough time actually in church? Have you spent enough time to actually hear the word of the Lord to know when it is the Lord's voice and when it is not? Because it doesn't happen by accident, y'all. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so they may have life and have it to the fullest. God wants good things for you. As he says in Matthew, if you who are not quite as good as God, he says evil, I'll say not quite as good as God. See, that's what we preachers do. We sometimes make Jesus a little fluffier than he is, right? Who sit there and say, oh, it doesn't matter, just come on. And Jesus goes, what do you mean it doesn't matter? I spent 3 years telling you how it matters, that you've got to actually listen. You got to actually do it. You got to actually follow my voice, because there is a pathway that leads towards heaven. And there is a pathway that leads away from it towards destruction. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but God wants good things. And how do you know the good things if you don't listen? If we don't spend enough time listening to the word of the Lord, this is what I love about our children's ministry and our students' ministry. It's why, by the way, if you've got children and students, you've got to invest them in everything the children's and student ministry department does, is because what they do is help train our children. And frankly, I'm not going to lie, when you volunteer, you're going to get trained too. And how do you know what is the word of the Lord's and what is the word of the world? Because in the end, only one thing will actually win. Only one thing. Jesus says, I've got sheep and other pens. I imagine, and I believe he meant, that you are going to find people of other religions, or other races, or other places, and Jesus is going to become their Lord too. But a lot of times we sit there and we go, oh, it's all fuzzy, it's just Jesus, it's good. No, no, no. In the end, the gospel declares that only one shepherd will remain, only one Lord and one King and one Father. And it's the one who lays down his life for his sheep, and there's only one who did it, only one who died and rose from the grave. So if you're looking for a pathway to life, follow the one who died and rose from the grave, the lamb who was slain for his sheep, because he knows you and me, and he wants good things for you. And so as we continue to worship today, I want to challenge you, if you have not ever decided, I'm going to follow this shepherd, Jimmy and I are going to be down front. We'd love to pray with you and have a conversation after church today. Because the truth is, the kingdom of heaven is near and all are welcome. But y'all, not everyone who heard the word of God decided to follow. Imagine this, God preached and some people ignored him. May it not be us. May we listen to his voice. May we know where he's headed. May we listen sufficiently to God that even in the cacophony of our world, we hear the voice of our shepherd and we follow. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we confess that we have heard your voice and have missed it because our ears are too busy listening to false prophets and false teachers who go in not by the way of the gate, for God, you are the gate. You are the shepherd. You are the one who in the end will win, has won. And as it says in the Gospels and as it says in the book of Revelation, that one day, all shall come to you. But those who respond are people from every nation and tribe all over the world, God, and that we shall kneel and bow, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are Shepherd. God, forgive us that we have listened to other voices. We have listened to those who want to steal and kill and destroy. Forgive us, we pray, and free us to follow your voice. Because yours is the path, narrow though it may be, that leads to life. Amen.